Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Welcome to our broadcast this evening. We are glad you have joined us, and we invite you to listen with us as Pastor Brian Grant concludes the message begun in last week's broadcast entitled, Understanding the Person of Jesus. This is the fifth in Pastor Grant's series on the seven sign miracles of Christ recorded in the Gospel of John. Last week, Pastor Grant gave us 2 points from the text in John chapter 5 that demonstrate the divinity of Christ. First, that Jesus is the revelation of God's grace. And second, that Jesus is the revelation of God's power. This evening, Pastor Grant takes up that second point again as he uses a lesson from real life proving there is power in the name of Jesus that allows the hopeless to dream. So listen now as Pastor Grant brings the conclusion of his message entitled, Understanding the Person of Jesus. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Jesus is challenging some of you to dare to do the impossible. You see, Philippians 4:13 says, what I can do, what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. The impossible is possible through Christ. Now don't jump up and say, a pastor said I can dare to do the impossible, so I'm going to run out and do it. No. I can do all things through Christ. Number one, you better make sure you have his leading, his direction, his guidance. But the Jesus who empowered this lame man to do the impossible, I am convinced he has the power to empower us today. So I'm going to say to you, even if you're from a family that doesn't allow you to dream, in God's family, you are allowed to dream. And you're a man. I wasn't going to tell you the story, but I'm going to. And your man came from a bad background. His mother had children for several different men. Pretty much every child had a different name. His father wasn't anywhere to be seen, because usually if you're going to have babies for all these other men, there's no need for me to stand around. Plus, probably he was also doing his thing in many other places. You know what I'm talking about. As a result, he had no education when he was a young adult. He could barely read and write. He knew a little, but not very much. All he could do was hope to get some handyman job, loaded oranges and bananas and such like when he got an opportunity to do that. But you know, this man got saved. This guy had the crazy idea to believe that God could do the impossible through him. I wonder if there's anybody who can identify with this guy's hand. A broken family, no education, nothing going for him, except he met the Savior and he had the audacity to believe that when the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the Bible actually meant it. And so he put God at his word. Who would have believed that this man eventually became chairman of an insurance company? Who would believe he ever became an elder in the church and started the church? I know the man because he's my dad. And I want to say to you, young people, don't put yourself in a box. Stop being so restrictive. Stop looking at all the limitations. Stop looking at your family history and say, listen, stop even looking at the politics of the age. Stop worrying about what the government is doing. Don't tell me I can't do it because of the government. By the way, you know I come from Jamaica. The government wasn't doing nothing for us. There ain't no welfare programs. There was no food stamps. There was no milk programs. There was no welfare. There was no nothing. No after school program. No second chance. And I'm here to tell you that the same God who we see here in the story, the same God who helped this man who had no hope, is the same God who can help you. And I want to ask you, are you willing to dare to dream? Are you willing to stand up and say, God, here I am. I want you to use me. God, I want to figure out what is your vision for me. God, I want you to whatever you want. Jesus is the revelation of God's power. But you know, there was a practical reason why Jesus told the man not just to rise, but to pick up his bed. You know, it was possible if Jesus didn't tell him that, Jesus may have healed the man and the man may have gone back and lie down in his bed. You know, by now, 38 years, can you imagine he knew a few other people around there? Do you realize that we get into these ruts, this comfort level? Do you realize one of the killers is that I'm comfortable with the way I am? I like where I am. This is a familiar thing. I don't want to step out my comfort what? Zone. A person who is afraid to step out of the comfort zone will never be a dreamer. The bed is comfortable, isn't it? It's comfortable. It's cozy. It puts me to sleep. To be honest, can I be practical? Some of the reasons why we'll never be a dreamer is because some of us actually like the bed. We're in the bed too much. Now, of course, I'm going off of the tangent, but I'll say it anyhow. You will dream in the bed. But ain't no good dream. You dream all sort of foolishness. If I tell you some of my crazy dreams, all sort of foolishness. But the dreams that matter are the dreams that God gives you while you're awake and he envisions you with his will. Two cows were grazing beside a highway when a tanker truck full of milk passed by. These were intelligent cows. Oh, you didn't know they were intelligent cows, Brother Henry? These were intelligent cows and could read the writing on the side of the truck. Can you imagine how they felt when they read what had been done to the milk? The truck said, pasteurized, homogenized, vitamin A added. One cow turned to the other and said, makes you feel sort of inadequate, doesn't it? These poor little cows, it's almost as if we weren't satisfied with their milk. We had to add and add and add. I wonder how God feels. It's almost as if we're saying, God, I don't think your power is enough. I ain't gonna trust you. What have you been adding? Thank God, Jesus Christ is the revelation of God's power. You know, some of you have marriages that are in trouble. Are you going to trust God today? A lady came to me some years ago and she said, I'm in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble. We're going to get a divorce. And so we prayed with her for about a month. I never brought up any other subject, just praying for her that God would help her. And after about a month, she had already seen the lawyer. She came to me and she said, let me ask you, do you believe God can save my marriage? I said to her, I guess it's impossible, right? She says, yes, it's impossible. I read somewhere in the Bible that God is the God of the impossible. So if this is impossible, it's sort of the thing he likes. He specializes. I think there's a song that says so. He specializes in things that are thought impossible. And I want to suggest to you, those of you who have marriage issues and children issues and issues, I want to encourage you to put your hand in the Lord's hand to go his way and to determine, God, I want to access your power, but I want to do it your way. Now, you know the part of the problem with Christians, though? We want to be Christians toe deep. You ever gone to the beach? You put your little toe in. You know, no, I don't like it. And you run away. If you want to be a toe deep Christian, I'm going to say it. Expect nothing from God. Some of you have been going through cycle after cycle of toe deep Christianity. This is a new year. It's time for a new commitment. It's time for a change. Listen, so we all were in Israel. I'd prepared some of them, but they didn't quite believe me. Some of the folks who went to the Dead Sea, they went to the Dead Sea. They put their toe in. They didn't like how it feel. They turned back. Do you know the folks who went toe deep experienced nothing? Talk to some of the other brothers and sisters. They put their toe in. Put a little more in. A little more in. A little more in. And all of a sudden, the Dead Sea took over put them on their back and they were able to float. Even people who couldn't float or couldn't swim. Whether you could float or couldn't swim, you could. The Dead Sea had you covered. It took you. Hey, you could read your newspaper on the Dead Sea. You could float upside down, right side up, sit down. You could do anything you want. The Dead Sea was totally supporting you. You said, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm saying to you, when you decide to make a full commitment to God, He is going to fully support you. Amen. You can rest in His grace and rest in His power. He'll take care of you, but it's not no toe-deep stuff. And I'm trusting that somebody this morning, somebody who is a toe-deep Christian, will say, God, I'm ready for full commitment because I want to experience your power. I want to be a dreamer.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Jesus Christ is the revelation of God's grace. No matter what I've gone through, grace. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God's power. But third, Jesus is equal with God the Father. Jesus is equal. Jesus had miraculously healed this man, but the miracle took place on the Sabbath, and the Jewish leaders were mad. The scribes and Pharisees had a list of 39 things that could not be done on the Sabbath. That's back then. And carrying a burden was on the prohibited list. By the way, the prohibited list has expanded dramatically since then. Those of us who are in Israel realize that on the Sabbath, you can't even turn on a light. Oh, you didn't realize that's work. If you flicked a light switch. So when we went to the Shabbat of a lifetime experience in people's homes, those of us who didn't, the people didn't have a timer on their steps, we had to feel your way as you went up. Because you couldn't turn on the light switch. You couldn't press the button for the elevator because that was work. So the elevator actually stopped on every floor. So you could just walk on. It took a while though if it was 16 floors because it had to stop on every floor, wait a while for people to come out and go on before it moved on. So it took a while. Listen, they have all these rules and regulations. So when Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath, you'd have thought the people would be happy, but they were mad. But do you realize that Jesus could have healed this man? Sometimes when you read it, you miss this. Jesus could have healed the man the day before or the day after. Jesus purposely chose to heal the man on the Sabbath. You see, Jesus was sending a message to them. He was just not just another prophet. He was God. And therefore, since he was God, he was Lord of the Sabbath. I've heard some people who say that Jesus never claimed to be God. I don't know what they're reading. There's a lot in the New Testament that talks about it. But even right here in this passage, let me give you three things that Jesus says right here in this passage. First, he and the Father are equal in works. John's Gospel chapter 5, verse number 16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus. The fact that he had healed the man on the Sabbath and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. By the way, this is where the whole movement against Jesus takes place. The movement begins with Jesus doing this. But Jesus answered and said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. He and his Father are equal within works. They wanted him dead. Don't miss what verse 17 says. My Father has been working, and I have been working. Listen, The only reason the lions got fed this morning is because Jesus has been working. The only reason that you woke up this morning with oxygen in your body is because God has been working and Jesus has been working. The only reason that rose bloomed was because God has been working and Jesus has been working. Listen, together Jesus Christ and His Heavenly Father are together keeping this entire universe and human life in motion. Jesus and His Father are equal in works, but He and His Father are also equal in honor. Look with me at verse number 22. This is Jesus speaking. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. That all should what? Honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. I've met people who say they have a high regard for God the Father, but don't play the importance of Jesus. And you might be here in this audience this morning, and you need to understand that Jesus Christ is equal in honor with God the Father. This passage makes it clear. And guess why He is equal? Because they are co-equal members of the Godhead. Listen. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit are of the same essence, but they are different persons and have different functions. Amen? Amen. By the way, brother, sometimes I hear people pray and they'll say, "Thank you, Heavenly Father, for dying on the cross for my sin." Is that a good prayer? The Lord will translate it. The Spirit will translate it. But it ain't a good prayer. The Father did not die for you. You see, they're different persons. And so sometimes in our theology, it's good for us to understand what we are saying. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are not the same person. They are different persons with different responsibilities and functions, but they're the same essence. The Father was in heaven while His Son was on the cross. Yes, Jesus Christ, God the Son, He died on the cross for your sin and my sin. And the Father, the Jesus Christ, the Son, He prays to His Father, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Forsaken because of your sin and my sin. If you fail to honor Jesus, you do not honor the Father. And this is why last week I shared that message with you, and I made it very, very clear. You cannot be saved if you do not put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. There's some people who pray to God the Father, and everything is about God the Father. God the Father is my Savior. Listen, you cannot be saved because the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, God manifested in the flesh. He is your Savior and He is my Savior. And this morning, if you have never received Him as your Savior, you need to do that today. You need to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me from my sin." Listen, they are equal in their works. They're equal in honor, but they're equal in granting eternal life. Jesus and the Father equally grant eternal life. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will." Verse 26 says, "For as the Father has life to Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him, the Son, the authority to execute judgment also, because He's the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this," Jesus says, "for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Jesus not only has the power to grant eternal life, He also has the power to execute judgment. Some people don't believe there's going to be a judgment. They've written up their own script. Listen, this is not a made-for-TV movie. where you can change the characters and the events as you like. This is the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is letting you know that there is a resurrection. There are two resurrections ahead. He says one resurrection is a resurrection to life. I'm so glad there's a resurrection to life, aren't you? Aren't you glad that there's a real heaven ahead? Aren't you glad that Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. Aren't you glad Jesus is coming again? There is a resurrection to life. But listen good. There is a resurrection to condemnation. There is a hell to shun. The Bible says, in that place the worms do not die and the fire is not quenched. It is an eternal place. It continues over and over. You know that's why I got saved? I do not want to go to hell. So I was still a little kid. But one day I couldn't find my parents. And in that anxiety, I thought that the Lord Jesus had come, that this rapture the Bible talks about had come, and he had taken away my parents, and he had left me all by myself. And I knew, oh my goodness, if I missed heaven, I wasn't going to miss the other place called hell. And I did not want to go to hell. Let me ask you, do you want to go to hell? You know how our world has gotten so depraved? ABC TV had a program on. A few years ago, we were at a young adults fellowship, and we paused to watch it. And all these people were saying, I want to go to hell. Because the guy said, I want to go to hell because all the cool people will be in hell. All the movie stars are going to be in hell. We're going to have a big party. We're going to have a big party every night. Oh, I want to go to hell. You know, there's going to be a lot of noise in hell. But it's not partying. The Bible says it's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, there's going to be a lot of light in hell. A lot of light. Light you have never seen before. But it's not the light from the strobe lights of a party. It's the fire of hell. This morning, God invites you to something far better. He invites you to the resurrection of life. And I am hoping and I'm praying that this morning, you'll receive Jesus Christ. I close with one final verse. In verse number 24, here's what Jesus said in verse 24 of John's Gospel, chapter 5. Most assuredly I say, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. My friend, the key word there is believe, faith. Can you imagine? I've witnessed to people who tell me, it is just too easy. I don't believe becoming a Christian could be that easy. It's amazing how God has made it easy. He has made it simply a matter of your exercising faith. Putting your faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. That Jesus went to die on the cross for your sin and for my sin. And if by faith you receive him, by faith you say, Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner and that you died for me. And by faith I'm asking you to come and forgive me and cleanse me. He will do just that. The Bible says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so this morning, as I bring this message to a close, will you come to Jesus? Will you come to him today? My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you.
I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.